I'm Michelle Martin. You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, sounds from India's independence celebration in New York. We heard it on the street. But first, it's time for our behind-closed-doors conversation, where we talk about difficult issues that are often hidden from public view. Domestic violence is certainly that. Domestic violence is often seen as a symptom of poverty and poor education. It's a problem that isn't supposed to happen to people who come from good homes or who have good jobs. But it does, says a new study, especially when the women are African American. In fact, the study says, black women with a college degree or higher were far more likely to experience sexual or other abuse than women with less than a high school education. In a moment, we're going to speak with one of the authors of the study. But first, we're joined now by Zoe Flowers. She is the Prevention Education Coordinator for the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence. She's also author of the book Dirty Laundry. It's about the reasons why black women stay in abusive relationships. Ms. Flowers, welcome.
Thank you.
If you would just start by telling us your story.
Sure. I guess at the time that the violence started, I was 22 years old, from an upper middle class family in the Northeast. And I was in college and met a young man. And we started dating after, a couple of months or so. And about 8 months into the relationship, now I would look back and say that it turned volatile, but back then I probably would just say that we argued a lot. And then after about a year and a half, it turned physical.
And by physical, you mean what?
Pushing, shoving, hair pulling, things like that.
Did you talk to anybody about this? Did you ever tell anybody what was going on?
No.
Why do you think that is?
Well, part of it was because I thought I was helping him. Number one, I felt sorry for him. And also, I've always been the person that people came to for advice. So I didn't want people to see me in that light, I guess.
So you were embarrassed?
Definitely.
Two questions that I think a lot of people would have. Why did you stay as long as you did? And what made you finally say enough?
I thought I could help him. I genuinely thought if I just loved him enough, he would feel good enough about himself. I never thought it was an issue of my self-esteem. I thought that it was his self-esteem and that his problem stemmed from the fact that he never knew anybody cared about him. And he wasn't abusive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of good qualities about him as well. So that was why I stayed.
Do you think there's anything about your African-Americanness that played into this cycle?
Definitely. I mean, I definitely felt the need to protect him as a black male. I definitely did not want to call the police and get the criminal justice system involved. He was very into the community. He was very much looked up to. So I definitely did not want to pull this black man down who had done so much work in the community that, people looked up to. I did not want to tarnish his reputation.
Do you think that you were afraid that no one would believe you? Or is it more that you just didn't want the community to be let down by another brother?
I didn't want the community to let down. That's the thing that honestly saved my life was that he was not able to isolate me from my friends and family. I have a very strong support network. And so even though I didn't, and I always felt like I could handle it. I always felt like I could handle whatever happened. So if I told people, they would have believed me.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think he was as dangerous as a person who was going through it knew.
Do you think he might have killed you?
Yes. A third of the women that leave are killed during separation.
Why did you finally leave?
It was funny. We were apart for about 6 months, and we got back together, and everything was, quote-unquote, going great. There was no violence. There was nothing. And one day, I was just sitting in his room, and I thought, is this what all of that was for? And I just felt like this is enough. I just got up, and I walked out, and I saw him again, but it wasn't because of a dating. It was because he actually broke into my apartment and started stalking.
Oh, my goodness.
So, my goodness.
So it was, in fact, hard to get away.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I've actually had to leave the state. And the police told me there's nothing we could do for you. It'll stop when he wants to stop.
I wanted to talk to you, Zoe, about, and in fact, Zoe is not your real name, is it?
No, it's not.
Mm. You had to go so far as to change your name
and
move across country. And we're not going to share the specific details of where you are for precisely that reason. But
sure. But
I wanted to talk to you about the study that we're going to talk about later. We're going to have one of the researchers on this program. The study suggests that a college-educated black woman is 145 times more likely than a woman without a high school diploma to suffer abuse. What do you make of that?
It has more to do with what's going on nationally and statistically. My opinion, as somebody who's been working in the field for quite some years now, is that statistically, women who are abused are between the ages of 18 to 24. So those are the times that women are in college anyway. So I think it has more to do with what's going on nationally than women being educated. I think that the women that are in college are more likely to report it because they are in school, they have more access to resources, they might feel more connected to systems than somebody that may have a little lower income and may be outside the norm and may not see law enforcement as a viable case for them.
So your argument would be that there's not necessarily more of this going on, but that people without those resources are maybe less likely to report it. It's more of a hidden problem.
Correct, okay. because the highest rate of women being abused across this country, regardless of race, is 18 to 24. African-American women are higher, of course, but that is the rate of the population being abused.
What do you think needs to happen to stop this? I mean, what conversations do you think people need to be having with their daughters and with their sons?
And with their sons, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that we really need to start looking at the norms we have around masculinity and femininity. Men are very much rewarded for being aggressive. Women are rewarded for keeping families together. And I think people need to start educating themselves about domestic and dating violence because the numbers are huge.
Okay, so then I have to ask, what's going on here in the black community that's such a prominent issue in the deaths of black women?
Absolutely. It's huge. And I think we need to start having conversations about what's going on in our communities when it's a black woman and a black male in these types of situations. I think that we're just not dealing with the things that are going on with our girls. And our women, we're not dealing with it as a community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look at AIDS, you can look at any societal ill that is going on in this country, and black women are going to be affected more. Poverty, we do not tell those stories. We do not allow the space to tell those stories. We only want to tell the stories of the strong black woman.
Zoe Flowers is the Prevention Education Coordinator for the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence, and she's also a survivor of domestic violence. She joined us from her office. Zoe, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And if you are in an abusive relationship, you can find links to resources that we hope can help you. Please go to our website, npr.org/tellmemore.